Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Coming up, Dutch roll sounds like a breakfast treat. But tell these airliners that, and holy cow, that story coming up. Now you're wondering, though, what a Dutch roll really is.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And happy Friday morning to you, Eric, and for Vince. Vince is back Monday. Mike Spaulding is in studio with us today. Adam Roberts again on the roads. Debbie Lazga is off. And Greg Pancake Hill putting up with me all week. Thank you, Greg. Lots to get to today. We have a lot of news that is just kind of fluid and circulating around. We have the MPS stuff. We have the he said what he didn't say situation with the former President Donald Trump. And, of course, it's also Father's Day weekend. We'll make sure to keep you up to date on the forecast for Sunday. And, by the way, this is something that Greg always does. So Pancake does what, I don't want to say what he does best, but one of my favorite things about Greg are his set lists. So Greg has put together a Father's Day set list. You know how this goes. Plays music that all has to do something with dad. And do we have that already keyworded, Greg, or are we getting on it? All right, it is up. So if you text the word dad to WTMJ Talking Text Line 855-616-1620, Greg will send you the Father's Day set list that you can enjoy all weekend long.
You're a dad music guy?
What does that mean?
You know, like you're just going to pop on the Springsteen or something like that. A classic rock, I guess, is what I'm asking if you listen to or no.
I mean, I'm a big fan of all types of music. I don't necessarily go all classic rock for dad. I think you'd be surprised at the eclectic tastes that every father might have. But we'll get to that. Plus, an amazing story about a dad no longer with us, but what the impact he left is still having a ripple effect for. We'll get to that here at 6:20. But first, got to get to what happened overnight.
Well, how are you going to pass a budget when your books aren't in order?
The passing of this budget is imperative simply because it is what we need to do for the children of this district.
Dozens and dozens showed up for a Milwaukee Board of School Directors meeting that was held Thursday night as the board approved a $1.5 billion budget. TMJ4's Brendan Jones.
The Milwaukee Board of School Directors approved a $1.5 billion proposed budget last night at that special meeting. The budget, if passed, could cut nearly 300 positions from the district. This comes weeks after news broke of the financial crisis the public school system is dealing with. The board also approved its corrective action plan to address their financial issues. Passing that plan allows them to receive a $166.5 million payment on Monday from the Department of Public Instruction.
Yeah, there were some parents that didn't understand how you could pass a budget plan when you don't have budget people. The CFO, the most recent now that we've learned, is no longer with the district. So how can that work? Who's going to be actually handling all this? But they did pass it. So as of now, state DPI should be able to provide the funds that MPS is expecting. Much more throughout the day on what's happening with MPS. Right now it's 6:14. And speaking of money, more contract talks could be leading to something with number 10. Sports in a minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
So are the balls dead or not? Power hitting numbers in Major League Baseball, those include things like home runs, are down across the board. The per-game home run rate through mid-May, just over one. It's good enough for fifth lowest ever in the wild card era. So what gives? Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
I don't know. Sometimes it just depends. It might just depend on the batch of balls you're getting that day. You know, I don't know about all the research around the bats and balls.
Arnold continued to downplay the importance of the long ball, specifically for this Brewers team.
A lot of our game, too. I mean, sure, we everybody likes the homer. But, you know, a lot of our game, you know, driven by Murph and Ricky Weeks is small ball. You know, we move runners around, we steal bases, we try to attack teams in a lot of different ways, not just the home run.
After an off night last night, the Brewers back in action today. They welcome the Cincinnati Reds to American Family Field for the beginning of a three-game weekend series. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 6:35. And another NFL quarterback is getting paid.
Trevor Lawrence has finally agreed to a five-year, $275 million extension, with $200 million of it guaranteed.
The former number one overall pick becoming the highest paid quarterback in the league at $55 million annually. Up next in the spinning wheel of quarterback contracts, Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, who's rumored to be in the running for a deal that even trumps Lawrence's. Then there's also the guy in Green Bay.
Yeah, I like being in the mix.
And that's that?
That's that. I'm short, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Jordan Love, I'm sure he does enjoy him being in the mix this morning.
Is this going to, I mean, the layman in me, that, you know, wonders, the longer you wait, is this only going to tick, 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 add up and add up and add up where you'd have to pay him even more?
Yeah, I think if Dak Prescott makes $60 million a year now, does Jordan Love have that resume? No, but that's what the going rate's going to be. It's like a star in the NBA. You're going to pay 10, 15, 20% higher than what market value would be. So no deal done yet with Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. However, he does say that he's still confident one will get done by the time training camp starts next month.
All right. And U.S. Open is underway. Rory McIlroy is your leader. Likely not to win, though. I don't know if he can go for it.
Been a little while for Rory. It'll be
rooting for him, though. Rooting for you, kid. It's 6:17. Speaking of golf, got a great Father's Day story to share with you about a man who worked hard, lived hard, loved his family, and is still, after all this time, leaving a large impact in society. That story in 3 minutes. Dance like your daddy. In honor of Father's Day on Sunday, Greg has put together a Father's Day set list. Just text the word dad to the WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1620. We'll send you his set list. And of course, you can always make a suggestion as well. He's happy to take them. Wanted to share this Father's Day-esque story with you. A local family who had decided to honor their dad for what he had done for them and for the person he was. And what started out small grew into something so much larger that is impacting so many more people. Here is the story about George Leaf.
He's done it! 3,000 for Robin!
Brewers Hall of Famer Robin Yount.
Bonnie has a very good opening 100 meters.
Olympian Bonnie Blair.
He made it! Tony Smith.
And NBA champion and Tosa East alum Tony Smith. These three, along with many other former athletes, have one thing in common. George Leaf. George and Ruth Leaf were the proud parents of six children. George, Karen, Kathy, Jim, David, and Ann.
It's tough raising six kids. I have no idea how they did it. That's a lot of work.
What I admire so much about my dad is just what a kind and gentleman he was.
Jim and David Leaf are third generation owners of ITU AbsorbTech in New Berlin. Father George ran the company before them.
He overcame having no formal schooling.
Surround himself with good people to fill in what he perceived as the gaps around his education.
He put together a terrific life in spite of the fact that he was a type 1 diabetic virtually his whole life.
George lived with type 1 diabetes, which is different than type 2. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease. Your pancreas doesn't create any insulin, so you have no way to control your blood sugar. A blood sugar too high can be catastrophic to your body.
Every morning and every night, Mom would go to the refrigerator and get out a little steel box that had the syringes in it, and she'd give him a shot.
Most of the time, since we just grew up with it, it was there. They didn't really try to hide it, but they weren't really, you know, out about it. There was no drama that went with it.
Whether they did it consciously or not, I think Mom and Dad kind of protected us from the true ugly nature of the disease.
George was diagnosed as a boy in 1929. He lived at a time when there was very little done to treat the disease, other than to watch your diet and to exercise.
He was able to do that with very crude technology.
So George would live with type 1 diabetes while also donating money for research to diabetes, while also raising a family and also running a business.
He taught stealth lessons. You didn't know you were being taught, but you were.
Stealth lessons. Perhaps that's what happened next. You see, George loved sports as well. and he especially enjoyed the links.
He loved to play golf. He wasn't particularly good at it, but he enjoyed the experience.
In 2006, a year before he died, the Leafs had a plan. Let's put together a small golf outing in honor of Dad. Maybe raise a few bucks. And just like Dad's done in the past, we can donate it to diabetes research.
It was a friends and family and business event. And we did it late in the year. And I remember we went talking to people saying, before you put your golf clubs away for the winter, how about come and play one more event? And we'll do it. It's a tribute to my dad, but we'll also raise a few bucks. And when I say a few, it was really very modest.
So it all worked out. They raised a little cash, and they honored Dad. But then something happened. The Leafs met a bulldog.
I was on the phone with a staffer from the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and at the end of it, almost in an offhanded way, she says, oh, by the way, Jim, do you know Ken Sanders, the relief pitcher from the Brewers? And I said, well, I know who he is. I know he plays a lot of golf at Tuckaway. And she just said, you ought to call him.
Brewers reliever Ken Bulldog Sanders. He pitched for the Crew in the early 70s, and he had a grandson living with type 1 diabetes. So when he heard about this golf event, he jumped at the chance to get involved.
Getting together with Ken gave him a chance to raise money for diabetes. That really transformed Tee Up for the Cure from being a cute little friends and family event to what it's become today.
See, Bulldog called his friends. Former pro athletes.
But we're not talking about like any athletes. We're talking about Robin Yount. We're talking about MVPs, gold medalists.
I didn't see it coming. I think we were very fortunate when we got Robin Yount agreed to do the first one. It was like, oh my gosh, Ken can pull this stuff off. And we had a glimmer of what it could do. But didn't really expect it to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Now this event to honor George Leaf has turned into an annual outing with scores and scores of foursomes, scores and scores of celebrity athletes, and since its inception, it's raised more than $1 million for diabetes research.
All right, so what do you think your dad would say if he saw what the enormity of the event has become?
That's a great question. I can't say I've ever thought about that. He was an incredibly humble, very gentle person. I think it'd be a big aw shucks moment that we have his name all over it.
Being able to track this down and being able to help people have a full, very active life, do what you want to do. Define yourself, don't be defined by the disease. He'd just be floored by this.
You could say this was George's final stealth lesson. Be kind, be generous, love your family, be open-minded. And look what happens. You can change someone's life. And George is doing that thanks to his family, his friends, and a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. So it's called Tee Up for the Cure now. Tee Up for the Cure. And they hold it every September, and they split the check. Half goes to Breakthrough T1D, which is formerly JDRF, and the other half goes to Children's Wisconsin and their Max McGee Center there for diabetes research. Pretty neat, and obviously it means a lot to me being a type 1 diabetic myself. If you'd like to learn more about George or the event, whether you want to be involved in the event or if you'd like to donate to the event, text the word GOLF to the WDTMJ Talk and Text Line. Golf, we'll send you it all. 855-616-1620-GOLF. And thank you in advance. The Brewers get back to work, hopefully, with a more lively baseball. 645, we'll have sports. You may wonder what a Dutch roll is.
I do.
Well, here's where I would never want the term roll associated with an airplane. And that's where this one comes from. Southwest Airlines is confirming that one of its 737 MAX 8 aircrafts experienced what's known as a Dutch roll while flying between Phoenix and Oakland a couple of weeks ago. It had 175 passengers on board when the plane experienced this series of uncommanded movements 32,000 feet up in the air.
I don't have direct knowledge that it took an hour to get it under control. What we do know is the airplane landed. I don't know how much elapsed time before the Dutch roll began and the pilots were actually able to get it more or less under control.
Good old-fashioned Dutch roll. So here's what it is. It's the name given to the combination of a yawing motion when the tail slides and the plane rocks from wingtip to wingtip. It's said to mimic the movement of a Dutch ice skater. Again, I don't want roll anywhere near my airplane.
Not preferred, swinging side to side from wingtip to... So it's a side, it's like a left to right
rocking back
thing.
And yeah, forth. No, thank and then you. Maybe even rocking a little bit, a yawing motion with the tail as well. So, yeah, no, you don't want it. So it's kind of rocking, but also... What's the word? Pivoting, if that will. So your nose of your plane is swinging back and forth as well. So it's kind of like a double motion. And it's hard to get under control. I'm showing you a visual picture of it now.
Yeah, no, Okay, so is this like turbulence? Did they say in the piece, were people hurt? Did they fly out of their seats? Or is it like just a smooth,
they're
unsettling?
Able to take care of this wrinkle, but it just caused a lot of problems, or just as far as being able to take care of it. But no, everyone's okay. They're just trying to figure out what exactly happened and why a plane would go into a Dutch roll for an hour.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to perform a Dutch roll. Just stay calm.
No, you don't need to impress me, pilot.
Yeah.
Just fly the plane.
I just watched Top Gun 2.
6:40.
Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone.
And on our Father's Day, Pancake has put together a Father's Day set list that you can access. Just text the word DAD to the WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1620. So DAD will get you the set list. If you text the word GOLF, you'll get that great story we told you about George Leaf, a man no longer with us, but is still leaving a large impact. 1 year at a time. Pretty amazing story there. So there is a big event taking place along the lakefront here. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. It's called Summerfest.
Is that new?
It starts here very quickly. It's 3 weekends, of course, again this year. 600 bands, 12 stages over 3 weekends. So what's the one artist that some of these Summerfest staffers need to go see? Well, Sandy Max is hosting our Summerfest soundcheck, and she posed that question to Senior Director of Marketing Jared Woods.
Last year, Noah Kahan was the it guy to see. Who is the one act that you think is absolutely can't miss?
I have to say probably Ivan Cornejo. He is playing the very last day of the festival, July 6th, on the BMO Pavilion stage. He is 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He is a regional Latin Mexican artist who also headlined a spot at Sueños, which is a Latin music festival in Chicago. He sold, I think, 70,000 tickets at the Houston Rodeo this year. And next year, I'm sure he's going to be doing an arena or amphitheater tour. And the fact that you can come and see him for a free stage is incredible. And it's one of those things, I get it. Not everyone listens to Latin music, but as someone who works in this industry, whether you know the music or not, that is truthfully the best part about what we do, is you can go and find a new band every single day of the festival that you may not know that may be your new favorite artist.
Marketing Director Jared Woods there, also speaking with Sandy in the Kellner Green Room at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. He is VP of Entertainment Scott Zeal. You can hear Sandy Max host the Summerfest Soundcheck Sunday morning at 11 a.m. 6:45, sports in 1 minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Are the balls dead or are they not dead? And does it really matter? Power hitting numbers like home runs are down across the board for Major League Baseball this season. The per-game home run rate, the fifth lowest ever in the wild card era, at least through mid-May. Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
I don't know. Sometimes it just depends. It might just depend on the batch of balls you're getting that day. You know, I don't know about all the research around the bats and balls.
Arnold continued to downplay the importance of the long ball, specifically for his Brewers team.
A lot of our game, too. I mean, sure, we everybody likes the homer. But, you know, a lot of our game, you know, driven by Murph and Ricky Weeks is small ball. You know, we move runners around, we steal bases, we try to attack teams in a lot of different ways, not just the home run.
After an off night Thursday, the Brewers are back in action today. They welcome the Cincinnati Reds to American Family Field. They'll play a 3-game series this weekend. Coverage tonight gets underway on the Brewers or radio network starting at 6:35. Another NFL quarterback getting paid. Trevor Lawrence signing a new deal, $55 million annually. It's going to make him, it's total of $275 million, making him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Next up will be Dallas Cowboys QB Dak Prescott. Jordan Love also is up for a new deal. Eric, how would you feel about playing in the Allstate Conference?
What's the Allstate Conference?
Nothing right now, but it could become reality for one of the former major conferences in college sports. The Big 12, according to Pete Thamel, is investigating selling its naming rights to a title sponsor. Right now, that title sponsor could possibly be Allstate. The deal, they say, could be $30 to $50 million annually. The conference says it would split up that revenue among its 16 members.
And the reason to change the name would be because it's not 12 teams anymore?
And also $30 to $50 million annually, I think, is probably the precipice. But yeah, when you're a young high school student looking forward to winning the Allstate Conference National Championship or whatever it is.
So it'll switch then. It'll become a different
name. It could possibly switch. We do have a couple of years to go.
This
could happen in 2026. Commercialization of college sports continues.
Yikes. 649 ESPN Wisconsin's Gabe Neitzel joins us next. We got a breakdown. Should we be concerned about this quarterback situation? All these contracts are being signed, but not our guy. What does that mean? We'll ask him next.
We'd get together in a family circle, singing loud.
In honor of Father's Day, we got ourselves a set list.
Mama sang dinner. Me and little brother with John.
Put together by Pancake. Just text the word DAD to the WTMJ Talk and text line. We'll send it to you. 855-616-1620, the Father's Day set list. A couple of things we want to get to with ESPN Milwaukee's Gabe Neitzel. Gabe, I want to ask you about quarterback contracts, because I have to admit, I'm getting a little worried about this one. But first, when I refer to all my family went to Big Ten schools except for me.
Uh-huh.
My parents went to Purdue. One brother went to Indiana. Another brother went to Illinois. So I just say I'm a Big Ten family.
Sure.
But now that naming rights are rolling into this, am I going to have to say someday that, yeah, we're an Allstate family?
I mean, we're a State Farm Big Ten family.
I mean, that's because it sounds like the Big 12 is going to do something like that. Is this for real?
Yeah, absolutely it is. Because they have to pay the athletes, right? Like they came to the settlements.
But they already make money. That's why they can pay the athletes, right?
Well, but they have a lot of that money from athletics goes to other places in the university. And by agreeing to the thing that they agreed to a couple of weeks ago, that's still going to take like a year to finalize through the court system, where you basically are going to have $20 million to directly pay athletes every year. That $20 million has got to come from somewhere, and that $20 million probably coming out of somebody else's budget within the university. So now you have to find a way to make up that stopgap, right? So naming rights would be the next thing for the conference.
So the conference, which it goes beyond just referring to athletics, is just...
Yeah.
Big 12, you think of schools in the Big 12.
Yep. Well, but again, like schools in the Big 12 are different than they were 2 years
ago. That's true.
You know, you mentioned Big 10. So you're a Big 10 family. Did you happen to go to UCLA or USC or Oregon or Washington? Because now that's also part of the Big 10 family.
I guess the reason it seems kind of icky is that it's going to change all the time. I mean,
correct.
I don't know how long all these contracts will be, but I would imagine every power conference will do this now, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because you gotta draw the money in however you can make the money.
I am a Culver's family.
I look forward to the All-States Conference Champion playing the Cousin Subs Conference Champion the State Farm Bowl Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. All right. Okay, so let's move on to our quarterback situation. So there's been a lot of talk about Jordan Love signing an extension with the Green Bay Packers. And I think everyone assumes it's going to happen. I don't think there's any concern that he's not going to stay in Green Bay or that he's going to hold out or do anything like that. But what seems interesting to me is that Jared Goff of the Lions just signed a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence of the Jaguars just signed a huge deal. Sounds like Dak Prescott's going to sign a huge deal. Will those deals affect what the Packers do?
I think they already have.
Yeah.
Look, I thought the Packers should have tried to lock this thing in. Now, the nuances of this in the NFL is where this kind of gets caught up. Because when Aaron Rodgers took over as the starter and signed a contract six games in, you know, all the way back in 2008, like the Packers could sign him to that deal. The Packers could not sign Jordan Love to any sort of deal until May 3rd of this year because of the way they didn't pick up his fifth-year option.
Right,
they signed him to the half-measure extension, and there's a ruling in the NFL, you can't sign two extensions within a calendar year. So they could not sign him until May 3rd or May 4th. I thought they should have locked him up right away because there were all these other quarterbacks out there. So now when Goff goes and signs for $53 million, Love and his representatives are going, okay. And then when Trevor Lawrence signs for $55 million per year, like Love's not getting less. If the Packers are hoping to sign Jordan Love for less than $50 million per season, they needed to get it done right away. They needed to throw a bunch of guaranteed money at him and try to entice him to sign it. Now, Love and his representatives might as well wait. Well, Lawrence just got 55. Let's see what the Dolphins do with Tua.
Yeah, right.
And the Dak Prescott thing is a little bit different because in his current contract, he cannot be franchise tagged.
Okay.
So that's why he's got, I mean, he's going to get, Adam Schefter was on our show a couple weeks ago, ESPN's Adam Schefter, saying that Dak could get $60 million per year because the Cowboys have no other option. Like the Packers at the end of this, if things get contentious, which we don't expect it to, they could just, okay, we're going to franchise tag you and we're going to be able to keep you around. The Cowboys do not have that option.
I know we got to go, but let me ask you this super, super quick. Why does this matter to a Packers fan? Just throw a couple extra mil.
I mean, but again, it's all about the salary cap. But the salary cap continues to go up and up because the NFL makes up days to play. Like the Packers this year, playing on Friday of opening week, and they sell the game to Peacock, and now the money just continues to go higher and higher.
It won't be called the NFL. It's going to be called the McDonald's League.
Again, more and more money. They'll do it.
Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. Thank you, sir. 658.